The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Show. We thank you for joining us on another episode of the Trumpet Daily. If you have comments for the show, please send those to td@thetrumpet.com. On today's show, we have a special segment lined up for you. It's about 45, 50 minutes long. It's a lighter subject. We were hoping or planning to maybe play this last week. There's a lot going on at headquarters. The ministerial conference is wrapping up, and then AC classes pick back up in just the next day or two, and then the Celtic Throne Tour begins. They're off through the Midwest. If you haven't seen that show, if you're excited about the opportunity to maybe see it and you live in the Midwest, go to CelticThrone.com and look for the cities and dates that they'll be visiting. I think they're in Indianapolis, in Chicago, Milwaukee, Minneapolis. So visit CelticThrone.com. You can look that up if you like. This show, this segment was put together by the guys, and it's just a compilation of moments over the past decade where Mr. Fleury has talked about sports. And the Apostle Paul makes mention of sports and references just the lessons that we can learn from sports. And these moments, they're not just, you know, great moments throughout the past decade. There's lessons associated with them, things that we can learn. Sometimes there's, and a few examples, there's a lot of humor. In some others, there's the political situation at the time. I think with Novak Djokovic, he wasn't allowed to enter into Australia, but he kept winning these tennis tournaments. Mr. Fleury gets into that moment with Scottie Scheffler, the professional golfer, where he talked about how, you know, just winning and getting money and fame, it wasn't fulfilling to him. What was fulfilling to him was family. I think it starts with the Chicago Cubs ending their 108-year World Series drought, but it's not just about that moment. It's about the character that was built and how that team was compiled. So again, I hope that you find this segment beneficial. It's again a compilation of segments throughout Trumpet Daily history over the last 10 years where we've talked about sports on this show. I think you'll enjoy it, especially if you do like sports. And if not, there still are lessons for you to learn as well. I thought it would be good just to promote the Seven Laws of Success booklet. That's one of Mr. Armstrong's most popular booklets. And if you haven't requested a copy of that, if you haven't read it in a while, it's just a little booklet, but it's jam-packed with information on how to succeed. It's the seven laws of success. If you don't have a copy of that, you can request a free copy. You can call our operators or you can send your request to td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on this show. We hope that you will enjoy it. And Mr. Stephen Fleury should be back with you tomorrow. Again, he's got a very busy schedule, but it sounds like he would like to do the show for you on Wednesday. So enjoy this special segment. Again, send any feedback you have to td@thetrumpet.com. Have a great day.
The 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series. Bryant makes the play. It's over. And the Cubs have finally won it all. 8-7-10.
You heard it here first. On the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, the Cubs won the World Series. Well, maybe we weren't first with that. But for this program, this is our first coverage of the Cubs' first World Series in what, over 100 years, I think it was. Sam, a native Chicagoan. I believe you stayed up late over here in the UK to watch that game, yes? Where was I? You asked me about watching it. I didn't watch it. I didn't watch any of that series, but I did read a little bit about it. And I didn't plan on saying anything about it on the radio until I saw this article yesterday. Interesting story. I don't know why I get Fortune magazine, but in any event, I got a stack of mail from my Edmond address, my Oklahoma address. It came in the mail yesterday here to Edstone. And in this box of mostly junk mail, there's a Fortune magazine from April 1st. This is old news on the World Series, old news from Fortune. I mean, this is several weeks ago. And it says here, the world's 50 greatest leaders. And first on the list is a guy by the name of Theo Epstein. And as it happens, he's the general manager of the Cubs. Used to be with the Boston Red Sox, this article. I was reading this last night when my kids were at dance. And this article talks about in the last year he was with the Red Sox, how that there was so much squabbling and so many egos and infighting that the Red Sox coming up to the playoffs had this huge lead and they squandered it. They lost out on their opportunity to go to the playoffs, I think it was. And so then, he makes a break in his career, moves over to the Cubs. And this article says here, a few weeks before spring training of 2012 in the ballroom of a budget hotel in Mesa, Arizona, Theo Epstein stood before nearly every person connected with the baseball operations of the Chicago Cubs and told them how the Cubs were going to win the World Series. Sam just put a picture of Mr. Epstein on my monitor. So there you go. Epstein devoted the first 3 days of the sessions to on-field strategy, hitting philosophy, pitching philosophy, defense, and base running. But the entire last day was devoted to character. The Cubs, Epstein insisted, would acquire only players with outstanding makeup or only players with outstanding character. It says later on, Epstein gave his scouts very specific marching orders on every prospect. He wanted the area scout to give 3 examples of how that player responded to adversity on the field and 3 examples of how that player responded to adversity off the field. They were to dig into the player's makeup by talking to just about anybody who knew him. Parents, guidance counselors, teammates, girlfriends, siblings. He wanted as many questions answered as possible. What's the family situation like? How does he treat people when no one's looking? What do his friends say about him? What do his enemies say about him? How does he treat people he doesn't necessarily have to treat well? What motivates him? Is he externally motivated where he wants money or followers? It says Cubs scouting reports would never look the same again. Epstein wanted reports that went on for pages, like the Russian novels his father had him read when he was a boy. It says the scouts who didn't take to the long-form scouting reports didn't last. Epstein ran them off. It wasn't hard, measurable data, but it was information nonetheless. And if Epstein was going to build a team around high-character, high-impact position players, he wanted as much of it as possible. I thought that was just an awesome article about a general manager putting together a team and understanding that in addition to all of the analytics for, batting averages and slugging percentage and all these other things I don't even understand, character counts as well. World Series game, by the way. I didn't get into it as much yesterday. But just looking at it after the fact, the Los Angeles Dodgers, they win the World Series, I guess that was Tuesday night. And yet you have this bizarre scene at the end of the game, toward the end of the game, the third baseman, Justin Turner, he took a coronavirus test before the game, and the test came back initially as inconclusive, and then I guess it was around about the middle of the game when they found out he tested positive. He's the guy in the red, right? The one hugging everyone. There he is. And let's see if he adjusts his mask as you look at this footage. I bet you will before it's all said and done. In any event, he's tested positive. He's taken out of the game in the 7th inning and told to self-isolate. So he went and self-isolated for 2 innings. for two innings. Then the team wins the World Series. I mean, can you believe this? You could not write a story like this. Crazier than this. Now he's with the team. They're taking group photos, and he takes the mask off. Well, they've won the World Series. This is not someone who's wearing a mask in case there might be COVID around. He has COVID. He has the disease, all right? And he's posing. Posing with the trophy, touching the trophy, touching his face mask, kissing his girlfriend, moving through the clubhouse, posing for photos.
High school senior is in the hospital after collapsing on the tennis courts.
Breaking new details on the deaths of a high school soccer player.
Finland, Denmark star man Christian Eriksen collapsing towards the end of the first half.
The Kennedy High community mourning tonight after one of their high school football players died.
A South Carolina high school football player has died after collapsing at football practice.
Star college basketball player collapsing on the court. We want to warn you, the video may be difficult to watch.
Florida Gators star Keontae Johnson collapsing during the game.
A West Catholic high school student has died after collapsing during a football scrimmage.
On mile 8, she suddenly felt fuzzy and blacked out.
17-year-old Ryan Jacobs' heart stopped.
Unexpectedly collapsed on the field.
Megan went into cardiac arrest.
Collapsing during Friday night's football game.
The reason for his collapse is unknown.
The reason why Manny collapsed in the first place still isn't known.
So you might be wondering how someone in such great shape could suffer cardiac arrest.
It's a rare thing that happens.
I guess it just happens all the time. That's a montage put together by Robert Malone. He's a medical doctor. He's not on the talk show circuits. They're not going to bring him on. But he's putting out information. Look, you've heard the reports of all the excess deaths and such. And then these mysterious deaths, these athletes, these young people, these teenagers, just collapsing to the ground from some kind of a mysterious heart condition. What could be the cause of all these excess deaths? This is Barcelona's Sergio, it's in Spanish, but with a translator, Sergio Aguero. He, yesterday, 33, he announced his retirement. Clip 6.
This conference is to communicate that I have decided to stop playing football.
Just 33, one of the best footballers in the world. Used to play at Man City. He collapsed on the field a few months ago. Heart problems. He's got a heart condition. For some reason. So what could this possibly, what's causing all of this? It's happening all over the place. It's like someone tweeted on Twitter. It's not just an elephant in the room. There's a herd of elephants in the room now. So you are 9 times higher as a 17, 18-year-old boy, a young man. You're 9 times higher to have heart problems. So you see these people collapsing. There's been 3 in soccer. Just in the past week, shortness of breath, they're sitting on the, they can't breathe, their head hurts, they're having chest pains. Here's another from the French League, number 1 football league, clip 7. You can see him there off to the side of the screen. Played for 30 minutes. They had to walk him off the field. Couldn't breathe, shortness of breath. The 3rd professional football player in the space of 1 week. Just 1 week.
Novak Djokovic, still the king of center court. And Wimbledon champion for a 7th time.
And the gentleman singles champion for 2022, Novak Djokovic.
Now there's the uncertainty. It's not just the majors, unfortunately, for him, John. It's any tennis server. Where is he going to play next to be able to play in North America?
Well, I hope this is
leading up to the U.S. Open. I mean, it's a great moment.
These politicians are getting in the way too much. They did it in Australia. Let's let the guy come in and play in the U.S. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. But I don't make those decisions. I hope that someone makes the right one and allows him to play.
John McEnroe there with some comments at the end of that clip that surely would have gotten him banned or censored. Just, what, 12 months ago? 18 months ago? On today's show, you're going to see some clips. You're going to hear some statements that you could not have said. Certainly not on TV. Not on Fox News. Not on whoever was carrying this. I guess ESPN. But he's like, hey, let him in. Let him in and let him play at the U.S. Open. There's a Novak Djokovic coming through. He finally could get into it. He's missed the last two majors because of the vaccine. You know what's interesting? Sam noted this morning. He was playing all through the sickness, the disease, the pandemic. And then as that begins to taper off, and then there's all the hoopla surrounding the vaccine, then these new rules put in place by all the communists leading our Western nations, basically saying, well, now you can't travel unless you get the vaccine. Djokovic nearly won the Grand Slam in 2021, just last year. But then this cult-like obsession, you gotta have the vaccine. Never mind the side effects. Never mind the fact that people still get COVID. It's a rule now. And it applies to Australia. It applies to France. It applies to a lot of nations right around the world. As I was saying to you last week, good for him making a principled stand. No, I will sacrifice my career if I have to. Where do you see courageous leadership such as that today? Where do you see among politicians in the West, anyone who's willing to just turn and walk away from what, tens of millions of dollars? You look at the way the Biden crime family operates, for example, or the Pelosi's, or you just go right down the list. They will sell out the entire nation of theirs for a few million dollars. And here's an individual, a family man, by the way. His daughter was there in attendance at the end of the show or the end of the tournament yesterday. A principled stand. We've got a few more clips from him.
It's always has been and will be the most special tournament in my heart, the one that motivated me, inspired me to start playing tennis in a small little mountain resort in Serbia where my parents used to run the restaurant. I was 4.5, 5 years old, and I saw Pete Sampras win his first Wimbledon in 92, and I asked my dad and mom to buy me a racket, and my first image of tennis was grass and Wimbledon, and I always dreamed of coming here, just playing in this court, and then, of course, realizing the childhood dream and winning this trophy. And every single time it gets more and more meaningful and special. And so I'm very blessed and very thankful to be standing here with the trophy.
He talked there at the start of that clip about the motivation and the inspiration that he had as a four-year-old. And sure, it's just aimed in the direction of a sport. Grass courts, to be precise. That's his love. He plays all over the world. He plays on hard surfaces. He plays on clay surfaces. He plays on grass. And he loves Wimbledon. And he's won it 7 times. And he got the vision for winning Wimbledon when he was 4 years old. And the story of Novak Djokovic in many ways is the story of growth. At least with respect to the tennis world. Here's a man, a young man, a little boy from Serbia, who got that racket, who dreamed about playing on grass, and worked and worked and worked to improve his game. And as I was saying last week, what an inspiration that is, or should be, for us.
I've said it many times, you know, this tournament is extra special for me because it has been the first tournament that I've ever watched as a kid,
that got me to start playing tennis. So I don't take any wins for granted, particularly not in Wimbledon. In contrary, actually, it feels every time feels a bit different, especially in its own way. Of course, having family and close people in my life here to share this victory with them, it was beautiful.
Now, as you know, we've paid attention to this story. Also, just not just because of the Matthew 5:48 principle of aiming for perfection, but also because of this man's principled stand against the vaccine, against the cult-like obsession to just do what the experts say, no matter what it does to your body. Can you imagine Nation? This is probably one of the most fit human beings on earth. This is probably one of the most healthiest human beings on earth. And you've got the experts in Australia and France and the United States saying, no, 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 keep him out. It's not safe. It's not safe to let Novak into the United States of America. But what is, you know what is safe to let into the United States of America? Communist infiltration.
And Mauro Flyboy have absolutely opened up on them inside the Furlong poll. He might lead it by double digits. Heavenly Trump is going to be second. Oh, and Mauro Flyboy ducked in, hit the rail, and unseated the rider. And Heavenly Trump is going to inherit the win here.
When does the front runner in a horse race just abruptly take a left turn into the guardrail going down the home stretch? Answer, when the second place horse is named Heavenly Trump. I love the announcer's call there. Heavenly Trump is going to inherit the win. Now, look, you don't need to read too much into a horse race. That's what we're here to do. You've got all of the exploding heads on the radical left, but you've got all of these people on the right that say, no, don't want to rally around Trump. Not can't do that. He's bad. He can't beat Joe Biden. They carry on with that fantasy. He just can't beat him. And meanwhile, Trump, he keeps touring the country, drawing tens of thousands of people. This is Fox News commenting on his appearance at, I think it was the South Carolina stadium for their football game against Clemson on Saturday, clip 5.
Former President Trump took the field to a tremendous applause at the Clemson versus University of South Carolina football game there at the University of South Carolina last night. Mind you, that's Nikki Haley's home state we're talking about. It's also her alma mater that was the visiting team, eventually the victorious team. What I found interesting about this is if you go on X, there are posts and videos that say, oh, the president was getting booed, and oh, the president got huge cheers. Some people are accusing the boo tweets of basically being fabricated. They were booing the visiting team. Either way, we all saw him at UFC here in New York. He's still got a huge fan base in a lot of blue-collar areas around this country.
New York. That is from South Carolina. And the best that people can come up with, the ones that hate him, say that, well, no, there were actually some boos. Who among the Republicans, or Democrats for that matter, would have the confidence to walk into a state, okay, it was South Carolina, but still, a stadium probably full of young people, a stadium of, what, 50, 60,000 people? And he comes in there, and there's lots of cheering. It says, Bryson DeChambeau's golf round with former President Donald Trump is the top trending video on YouTube. So, I mean, this is from a couple weeks ago. The 56-minute recap, which went live Tuesday morning, has been watched by 6 million people, 6 million times. I think after a couple more days, it was up to 10 million. Delivered Shambo's personal YouTube channel hundreds of thousands of new subscribers. To put that audience size into perspective, NBC and Peacock's final round broadcast of the Open Championship's final round on Sunday drew 3.39 million combined viewers. A little over 3 million viewers watching the golf championship. And then 10 million that want to go see the number one golfer play around a round of golf. Play a round of golf with Donald Trump. It says here, put another way, DeChambeau's
DeChambeau and Trump's hit and giggle has attracted 73% more viewers than the decisive round of the final men's major of the year. Pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. We'll play now. We'll finish the show with that seven-minute segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Take it away, guys.
I feel great. I feel great. I feel like I have the best player in the world right now, and he's a winner. He knows how to do it. I hear it's a very hard thing to do. It sounds easy, but it's not.
Very difficult.
I think five eagles and...
And 12 birdies or 13 birdies? Five eagles and... That's right, 13 birdies, five eagles.
So that's not easy.
23 under par. Yeah.
That's not easy to do.
Not easy at all.
But we're going to have fun.
But it's a great challenge.
We're going to have fun trying, right?
Yep.
And you've had seven and they haven't done it, huh?
Not yet. We've done it with Sergio. We haven't done it.
Would you rather be here or Durrell? That's the only question.
Man, I don't know.
You know, do you understand that?
Yeah,
this is a little more serene. I think you can drive this sucker. I think you can drive most of them.
Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
That's the big, yeah, mm-hmm. It's a big factor. See the hole?
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. Wow. This golf course is something else. We'll let you lead off there, partner.
Lead off, okay.
Let's see, smoke a good one here. Beautiful. Right at the flag.
That's
awesome. Great shot. Okay, I got to ask, what's your favorite golf course of all your properties?
Well, Aberdeen is so incredible. Turnberry is rated number one in the world.
Uh-huh.
He went right by the hole, right?
That was close. Oh, beautiful. Come on. Oh, what a shot. Partner. Great shot. That's how you do it right there. Gosh.
You think Biden can do that? I don't know. We had an argument about golf. Can you believe it?
I saw him on CNN.
I don't even know if Bryson can do that.
I don't think I can do that. If President Trump gets inside of me, I don't know what's going on. Songs of all time.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
Well, I have a great playlist. I have a playlist.
What do you got here?
So this is stuff that wouldn't have happened years ago. This is all good stuff.
Yeah.
It's too old for you, but I will tell you.
What's your favorite? Frank Sinatra, right?
Well, I have a lot of Frank Sinatra. Yeah. Yeah, we'll play this when we're finished breaking this record, if that ever happens.
But, time to say goodbye. I love it. I love it.
Nice and soothing, right?
It is calming as ever.
But on a normal putt, you're hitting it even.
Very flat.
Much, right?
Very flat.
Good.
Birdies all around. Let's see if we can get our first eagle.
We're getting a lot of birdies.
20,000. So we're at 30,000 now, guys. Where's your favorite place to go in the world?
So you love Scotland because it's Turnberry. Mm-hmm. Turnberry got rated number one in the world, as you know, which is very hard when I own something that it gets rated number one in the world. Some people don't like
it's
it.
Very impressive.
You understand?
Yeah, it's
for me
impressive.
To get number one in the world. And in Ireland, we have a place, Stoodbeg, which is phenomenal. Mm.
I've been there. I was there last year, actually. Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you.
Jeez, what a driving machine right there. Great job.
You know, I never heard this before. Gary Player told me this, and he won 168 tournaments and 18 majors, nine and nine.
Mm-hmm.
He said, President, you know, it's very intense. What are you doing? Because I always teed it level with the ground.
Yeah.
He said, the reason for a tee on a par three is you have to lift it up
a
little bit off the ground.
Yeah.
And I never heard that. I always thought bad players did that. You know, when I see guys lifting it up.
Yeah.
Can you imagine all the years I played golf?
There's a lot of professionals that tee it up. Tee it up.
He said, the reason for a tee is because
get in
I always had it level. He said, what's the purpose of using it?
That's right.
All right, partner.
Let's see a good one here. Come in there. Come in.
Well hit.
Come in. Come on. That's a good strike. Good shot.
Well hit. Nice. Thank you.
I think it's going left to right, partner. Just outside the edge.
You think?
Literally right here. Personally, I like starting it up over here.
Yeah, pretty much, huh?
Yep. That's nice. Do it. Come on. Come on. Oh my gosh, what a great putt.
You see how high that was?
That almost went in.
What do you see there, right?
Inside the club. Oh, there we go. I love it. Nice. Good putt. That away.
He watched it in. He made sure it went in.
That thing definitely went in. Great job.
I thought I pulled it. I did pull it, actually.
That's how you do it.
That's all
you
right.
You the putts. I hit the drives.
Now, in the Open Championship, formerly known as the British Open, which a lot of people don't understand, right? Putting is like routine from there, right?
100%. Yeah, you're putting.
You will mostly putt.
Most of the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of the time.
Why is that? The grass is different?
It's the grass, and also it can get really firm and tight and clumpy. And
it's like a green.
It's tough to chip off of almost sometimes. Yeah. Beautiful. Sit down. Sit. It's turn. Beautiful shot. Okay. Nice. By the way, partner.
It's a good call.
So I think this would be a solo birdie if you make this right here. I want to see you knock one in here.
This would be a very nice birdie.
Yes, it would be. All right, see a good putt here. Go in, go in.
Go.
Oh. Let's go. He made a solo birdie. That away, good job. Are you kidding me?
Well, I hit three good ones.
I did zero.
Honestly, that was
I didn't do anything that hole.
Perfect.
Not winning a PS.
Yeah, I think that's fine. The A. You like the A?
Yeah,
I think you hit it. You hit it.
I didn't tee it. Though,
yep. So, partner, we're on course so far.
We're at 11 under. There you go. Nice. He just walks off like a boss. Walked off like a boss, making eagles on par fours, just driving it, tapping it in.
That was a big one, huh?
Who's the most impressive celebrity that you've met personally?
Well, I know, I guess all celebrities in terms of a certain age, but yeah. I knew them all, and Sinatra. Yeah. The only one I didn't know was Elvis. I never met Elvis. Huh. Elvis was one of the greats, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Michael Jackson very well, lived in one of my buildings, had his honeymoon at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Great drive.
This hole.
That's right there.
It's perfect. Okay.
It's good.
This is doable, though. This is a 92-yard shot. President's been striking it well. Let's see it. Oh, beautiful. Go! Stop! Oh, good shot. Nice shot. This is pretty impressive. I didn't expect this. You have a hole-in-one story? A good hole-in-one story?
No, but I've made eight.
You made eight of them?
Yeah.
That's
I've
awesome.
Had eight.
Get in there. Oh. Let's go! That's how we do it. Oh, that's how you finish off the round. We shot 22 under.
To just be able to lie right when you see everything. I'll give you a perfect illustration. This was from the World Series last night. This guy, the Yankees, I think it's the Yankees. No, it's the other team. The Dodgers, the guys, go ahead and play 11 next to me. The Dodgers guy, he's going up for a catch. Look at these guys in the stands. This is at New York. That one guy grabbed, this is in plain view of the whole world. He's holding the glove. Another guy's holding the hand. He rips the ball out and then looks around and says, yeah, he missed the catch. He missed the catch. Those guys in the stands, they're like the propaganda media. And the guy going for the ball, let's say he's the truth. Okay, just play along. I like sports. The propaganda media, they will twist and distort and cheat and lie right in front of you, right in front of your face. And then tell you, no, he dropped it. Yeah, I mean, he dropped it. Just take our word for it. Let's not go to the tape. You know, Joe didn't go to the tape this morning on the meltdown. It took them 20 minutes to get to what Biden said. Before that, he said, you know, I know there's other networks focused on other things people have said that aren't running for office. An obvious reference to Joe Biden. You know, there's a lot of people saying Joe Biden's sabotaging Kamala's campaign because he's bitter. He's bitter. They stole it from him. Isn't that ironic? They stole it from Trump to give it to Biden in 2020. And then this past summer, they steal it from Biden and they just hand it to Kamala.
It's a cultural phenomenon. There's no stopping it. What do you think
kept it bottled up? Was it just this explosion after the win?
I think people were scared for a while. You know, I think you don't want people to talk bad about you. We know how we've been talked about the last 4 years if you're a Donald Trump supporter. But I think now no one's scared anymore. It's nice to see these guys coming out.
And it just kind of symbolizes what's going on in the sports world and what's going on in America. Donald Trump is actually the unifying force that we've been looking for.
So there's an element of respect from two sports that are the most popular in the country and the most violent, that this guy can go out there and also put his life on the line. And now everybody feels an infectious courage because there's no more stigma about being MAGA. The stigma has moved from MAGA to anti-MAGA.
Like overnight.
You don't want to be anti-MAGA now. That's not a good look.
Why do you think they relate so well to the president?
Well, if you saw the election, the entire country relates with Trump right now. I think the whole country, it feels like somebody hit the reset button.
And off the drop, McDavid went forward, and here we got a shot on. McCarr sends it around. Marner waiting. Connor McDavid scores! Connor McDavid for Canada!
I had to squeeze it in for our Canadian audience. They're probably still celebrating. And as our news gatherer from up north said this morning, probably as well, totally oblivious to the big news coming out of Europe, out of Germany, to be precise. Play, if you have the freeze frame from right before the shot. Here we are. It was a great game. The two teams seemed, now that it's over, I can go back to being an uninterested hockey observer. I think I've watched 3 hockey games in my entire life. So I did watch this one, and I heard about the U.S., America's vaunted defense. And there you see them. They're in the blue around the perimeter. And the guy right in the middle of the screen, as I understand it, he's the best hockey player in the world. In the world. And he's standing alone in overtime. In overtime, completely unguarded. About 15 feet in front of the net. So there you go. You have my expert analysis on how the game concluded. Sad to see it conclude with something like this. I mean, somebody, we need to send in Doge because somebody needs to get fired over a mistake of this magnitude. He's the best, right in the middle, nobody on him, and he's the best hockey player in the world. There you go. I've said enough. But I will comment a little bit more on Justin Trudeau.
He's coming again. 30
seconds left.
30.
Oh, he's to the left this time.
He's sliding off.
Oh, he's going to get big here. On the high crotch.
It's a double.
And he's running down.
Oh, my God.
He's going down.
Oh, my God.
God.
Can you believe this?
Oh, my God.
Henderson with the 3. Game about a hustle. The Olympic champ is about to lose. It's 13 seconds.
This could be it.
Oh, my goodness.
The biggest upset in the history of the NCAA. Could this be it? Yes, he has done it.
Why Henderson just beat Gable Steveson? Why Henderson just beat Gable Steveson? This is the craziest moment in NCAA history. Oh, my goodness, Jordan. Oh, my goodness. Why Henderson? Captain America. Captain America.
Rob, I can't believe it.
My jaw's on the floor.
He did it.
Hey. Shut up, Rock.
I'm glad that he was the last match.
That's what the last match is.
That's the last match.
That's what a main event
That's
looks
what
like.
It should
look. Wow.
What the president say to you?
He said he's very proud of me. That's like Manor of Chivas. I'm very proud of that. He came here to support his troops. I put on a show for him. I won him that national title.
It's amazing how President Trump seems to have a knack for showing up at events like this. He's there and he witnesses one of the greatest upsets in NCAA history. Shout out to Oklahoma State, by the way, just 45 minutes north of us here in Edmond. But this this wrestler's from Oklahoma State. He's, I think, served in the Air Force, gave the nice salute there to the president. And we almost put together another montage of TDS. And all these words, in this case, you know, sounding the alarm about Orange Hitler. And then you go to the grassroots of the movement and you see it's a very different story than what the talking heads portray on their networks or in their columns, in their writing, in their speaking. But I think just to make a more serious point, where Hebrews 12 says that we're in a race. And the Apostle Paul used a lot of sports analogies for good reason. Because we have to finish. If you were to rewind that clip, you saw there was just more spring in the step of the underdog. And then after this incredible victory, he told the reporter, he said, I was studying the story of David and Goliath all week. He was drawing on the Bible for inspiration. And he had more energy. He had more fight left in him at the very end of those three rounds. I don't know so much about all the scoring and how it works, but he got the takedown and got the points and beat the Olympic champion, who was just stunned.
Rick Carlisle thought he did. Dort has to hoist one up. And he knocks it down! Lou Dort with a Hail Mary as the shot clock was expiring. And the game is tied again. They're 10 of 20 from three-point range. SGA tries to answer and does. His first three-pointer. He'll just Alexander. The spin. The pass. Williams open three. That one bounces in. Hartenstein kicks it out in the corner. Kaysen Wallace puts it a three. Connell deflected by Hartenstein. Throws it ahead. Wallace goes up for the layup. It's good. Defense turning to offense. 7 on the 24. Three-pointer SGA puts it in. Indiana hoping for a miracle. Dort reaches in and comes up with another steal. 20-second turnover for Indiana. The Thunder have taken the NBA by storm. For the first time, the NBA champion resides in Oklahoma City. The storybook season is complete.
And to the Oklahoma City Thunder, a team-first mentality, homegrown all-stars, and a very special culture. Clay Bennett, Sam Presti, Coach Daigneault, and this amazing team. Congratulations, you're the 2025 NBA champions.
This is a win for the fans, the best fans in the world. Love you guys.
Nice to see the love there for Oklahomans. As I say, it's brought some positive publicity to the state. Also enjoyed the commentator saying that the Thunder are taking the NBA by storm. Their name, I mean, the name for the team is Thunder. This is what Oklahoma in many ways is known for outside the state. Tornadoes, maybe a little bit about the Oklahoma City bombing back in the 90s. Not very good things, you know. A destruction that comes from a tornado or from a terrorist. So it's nice, as I say, to see some positive publicity. This is from that resident of Colorado I mentioned at the top, who is from Oklahoma, and she wrote this article for the Daily Oklahoman. She says, Colorado's beautiful. There are mountains. The air is thin. The lattes and homes are wildly overpriced for a reason. And I can't tell you how many times someone has smirked at me after I say I'm from Oklahoma. You don't seem like you're from Oklahoma. You're actually smart. Did you marry your cousin? Do you even have a Trader Joe's? She says, so when the OKC Thunder won the NBA Finals, it wasn't a win only for the players. It was a beautiful, cathartic, deeply Okie-style moment of, We may not be your coastal elite darlings, but we're here, we're loud, and we just beat every team out there. It says perhaps that's why last night, when SGA cradled the hard-fought trophy, I wiped tears off my face and hoped my Colorado friends didn't notice. I felt so ridiculous. These players don't even know I exist. This wasn't my win, but maybe it was, just a little. Along with all overlooked states between coasts, shout out to Indiana as well, Oklahoma is the punchline until we're the headline. It says, we Okies have been called hicks, yokels, backwards, Bible thumpers, and uneducated nobodies, but what we are always is loyal to our teams, to our people, to the land that raised us. It says, and when one of ours rises, we tend to rise with them. So someone that's pretty excited, like so many others in the state at the moment. As I say, nice to see some positive publicity for the state that also happens to be the home of God's work. Last week, I maybe it was the week before too. This is, I don't watch much golf, but Scottie Scheffler evidently is the greatest golfer in the world right now. And he made some remarks a couple weeks ago, got a little traction on social media because surprise, surprise, he was actually praising, you know, marriage and family and said that that was more important to him than sports, than making millions and millions of dollars. And he said in this statement in front of reporters that, you know, if golf ever got in the way of his marriage or family, he'd give it up. And he also said winning championships in golf, something he's trained for his whole life, that the moment of exhilaration is so fleeting. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Listen to a little bit of what he said a couple weeks back, clip 23.
It feels like you work your whole life to celebrate winning a tournament for like a few minutes. It only lasts a few minutes, that kind of euphoric feeling. And I like to win the Byron Nelson Championship at home. I literally worked my entire life to become good at golf, to have an opportunity to win that tournament. And you win it, you celebrate, get to hug my family, my sister's there. It's such an amazing moment. And then it's like, okay, now what are we going to eat for dinner? You know, life goes on. This, you know, there's a lot of people that make it to what they thought was going to fulfill them in life. And then you get there and all of a sudden you get to number one in the world. And then they're like, what's the point? Why do I want to win this golf tournament so badly? Why do I want to win the Open Championship so badly? I don't know. Because if I win, it's going to be awesome for about 2 minutes. And then we're going to get to the next week and it's going to be like, hey, you won two majors this year. How important is it for you to win the FedEx Cup playoffs? And it's just like, we're back here again, you know? I love the challenge. I love being able to play this game for a living. It's one of the greatest joys of my life, but does it fill the deepest, you know, wants and desires of my heart? Absolutely not. But if my golf ever started affecting my home life or it ever affected the relationship I have with my wife or with my son, you know, that's going to be the last day that I play out here for a living. You know, this is not the be-all, end-all. This is not the most important thing in my life. And that's why I wrestle with, why is this so important to me? Because, you know, I would much rather be a great father than I would be a great golfer. You know, that at the end of the day, that's what's more important to me. Like, a great amount of thankfulness for being able to do this. And it's, I mean, like I said, it's literally one of the most fun things that I can do in my entire life. I love being able to come out here and play golf and compete. But at the end of the day, it's just not what satisfies me.
Okay, so good for him. I'd much rather be a good father than a good golfer. And you look at that and, you know, I heard it and I almost played it a couple weeks ago because I thought, well, you don't hear that very often from celebrities and sports stars. And so good for him. Evidently, he doesn't even give that many interviews. But he comes out and he says what's important to him. Family. Marriage and family. Now, how that could even be seen as controversial at all is beyond me. But sure enough, there's been some backlash. And you know why? Because Satan hates family. He's behind this spirit of hatred and murder. And he hates the family because God is a family.
And you can't just shrug it off at age 29 and focus on, as you said, being a better father than a golfer. You can't do that, Scotty. No, God wants you to maximize the platform from which you can honor him and encourage fans to open their hearts to him, to God. That's what God has led or called you to do, Scotty, not to focus on your wife and infant son before you're 30.
It's really pretty embarrassing, as old as this man is. But see, we have a booklet that goes by the title Conspiracy Against Fatherhood. There's a conspiracy, and this is led by the God of this world, Satan the devil. What does this show you, too, about just how shallow and purposeless religion in the world is today? Wait, you're on a mission from God. You've got to use golf to bring people to God. Now listen, I like a good sports analogy, just like the next guy, and we use them time and time again on this show. But to say, look, you put sports ahead of everything else, and really, it's like a calling from God himself. That's not true religion. Far from it.
Which is a record, so we're doing great, just like they have to do great right now.
Working short.
Let's see what happens.
On fourth down, Mariota throws.
There we go.
Just like you dialed it up.
Samuel.
See, that was very important. Got a little ways to go yet, but still, that was very important. Now your ratings have gone up because there's hope.
I know you love ratings.
I love ratings. You got to have ratings. Well, you guys have the ratings, so.
Would you like to call a play?
Well, I would like to do that if you'd like me to, but I will say that your second string, your backup quarterback, is a good quarterback, and he's had some very good games for you, and your first string quarterback has the potential, I think, to be a great quarterback. He's got to stop the injuries somehow. And let's see, we have a very important couple of plays.
Here we go. Second and seven.
Yeah, second and seven. Let's see what happens. Well,
that's
all right.
Krosky Merritt.
Not bad.
Takes it down to the 5-yard line.
That's right. That's right. Good runner.
There we go.
This is a very big play, don't you think?
I think.
They have to get a touchdown. Let's put it differently. They just have to get a touchdown.
There we go. Now you're doing my job, because that's what I was going to say. They have to get a touchdown.
Just forget about the play. They have to get a touchdown.
So you've done my job. Now you've done his job.
Right.
You're a regular here in the broadcast booth.
Who could have imagined this scene just 5 years ago, maybe? 4 years ago? It's pretty incredible. What a turnaround we've witnessed. I think he's the first president to stop in on the NFL. Did a little broadcasting even. Pretty amazing. Even miraculous. You heard that from Glenn Beck there at the Cold Open. A pretty miraculous turnaround. Beck called it the greatest miracle that he's ever seen.
You remember, now you're too young, but George Allen was a good coach.
Oh, absolutely.
He was a very good coach. And you had a couple of good coaches.
Joe Gibbs, of course.
I mean, how good was Joe Gibbs? He was good no matter what he did, right?
Yes, he was. Mr. President, we thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you very much.
Us.
This is an honor.
Enjoy the rest of the game.
Fantastic.
Thanks for the visit.
I'd love to have your job someday. Thank you, man.
Thank you, President. You did an excellent job calling that play.
Thank you very much.
The President of the United States.
Thank you.
Donald Trump on Veterans Day weekend. Here in our nation's capital.
As I say, just stepping back and seeing how, just do you remember how awful it was in 2020 with COVID and then the jab and then the beginning of 2021, the fake insurrection, and then President Trump being completely silenced? And then what was it, a year and a half later, he announces he's going to run for re-election and Jack Smith is appointed 3 days later. And then sometime after that, there's 91 felony charges as they tried to put him in prison for many lifetimes. 9, 10, 12 lifetimes. And then the head tilt. Then the assassination attempt, followed by another assassination attempt. And now there he is, yucking it up in the broadcasting booth. I was thinking of Psalms 2 on the drive over. It says here, the king, this is Psalm 2 and verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. All of the princes and the elites, they take counsel amongst themselves against God's purpose, plan, will. It says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God just laughs at how puny, how weak we are. As I was saying in class this morning, I mean, this temporary physical existence is exactly that. It's temporary. It's like we're on a countdown clock to returning back to the dust of the earth. And yet God sent his son to this earth. The word came in the flesh because God wants to give us life, eternal life, where we'll live forever in perfect health and with all power at our disposal and never-ending energy, never growing weary. The God family, God's kingdom. If that was a stunning miracle last summer, the head tilt, well, what does it say? I would agree with Glenn Beck in that God is not neutral, but does that mean he's a MAGA Republican, or does it mean something much, much more than that? God is involved. God's purpose shall stand. God is working out his plan here below. But what is it he wants for us to understand? Why did we have such a dramatic shift last year? Why did God open the way for Jeroboam to return? And, you know, obviously, as I've been pointing out, you can certainly see how that the United States of America is drifting into a sense of false security, a sense of complacency. But still, just looking back on the miraculous turn, it's worth doing from time to time. He went from having no voice. He went from being blotted out on social media. He went from endless lawfare, appearing in court time and time again. He went from an assassination attempt, well, actually two of them. And now there he is. I mean, the NFL, that's the most popular sport in America. And he's there, and they're both just laughing alongside President Trump. Happy to have him in the booth. That is quite the scene.